Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Schools face a choice: guide AI or be guided by it. Hello, 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 and welcome to Studio Classroom. Well, Advanced here at Studio Classroom. We're very happy that you are joining us for the second day of our education lesson, our education article called AI Tools Are Damaging Students' Critical Thinking. We had a great discussion yesterday, in my opinion. We are looking at an article that has some pretty strong opinions. It's a very biased article written by Ryan Trattner. It's a very enjoyable article to read, and he presents some good points about the downsides of AI, or the downsides of our usage of AI as society and in educational institutions in particular. Joining me today is the same co-host and partner as yesterday, Simon. Hello.
We're struggling.
I was like my other panelist, but yes, my partner.
Yeah, it's not really panels anymore, listeners. We're down to two now.
Thank you for joining me.
It's much more efficient, actually.
Yeah, well,
it's easier to manage.
You would think that
a partnership of two.
Maybe some people would think that we consulted AI to make that decision going down from three to two, but we did not.
We didn't. No,
we made that decision ourselves.
Yeah,
but yeah,
because some people are perpetually late.
Well,
that's why.
Yeah.
We accidentally noticed when people were late that two could do.
Well, you know, with two, the chances of everybody being on time is higher, you know, than when there's three. But even
or your chances of being able to pull off a program.
That pulling off means to make something succeed.
Yeah. Because we can, you know, you can grab the person who would have been three from the office.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And sometimes.
Like, hey, Peter. I don't know where Gabe is. Let's just record this thing.
Just come on down.
Yeah. Come on. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Great.
I like the streamlining and the efficiency that two hosts has, but I gotta say, like, in a conversation, I know this is not this has nothing to do with our topic today, but in a conversation, just in general, like if I'm walking with somebody or eating lunch with somebody, like I like the things that other people bring out of a conversation other than if it's just two people. Like if I'm talking to one person, maybe that's most ideal for like having an in-depth personal conversation about something. But sometimes like there's other things that somebody else will bring out.
Maybe we should bring out an AI as a third panelist here.
That's not necessarily a bad idea.
Grok has those new companions.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, they're not new.
The physical ones, right?
By physical, you mean with bodies?
Yeah. There's like a robot version. No.
Oh no, that's Optimus. Yeah, they're working on that. That's not out. Yeah.
Well, because we could sit.
No. There's just like there's versions of their AI that have personalities.
Yes.
And so you chat with them. They're like chat bots.
Yes. I mean.
Yeah. But they're good. Like they sound. You know, as long as you have a good connection.
Simon, you know, this is not a bad idea. In theory, we could. We have an empty chair here in our studio, friends, and we could put that robot.
We're gonna have like an AI Garrett. He's busy because he does, you know, lots of different shows.
Right. Well. It's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea.
We're gonna amplify his productivity by having fake Garretts all over the place.
Well, okay, Simon. So back to our lesson here specifically about AI. Like, would a truly responsible use of AI in education look like to you?
I mean, my concern here actually primarily is not as a like I've been working in or around education for like 26 years or some ridiculous thing now. Like I am aging quickly here, listeners. And it's been a while, but my primary concern is actually sort of as a parent. Because I don't necessarily see how changing the technology changes the outcome. Like it seems like more of the same in a different form. And so like the reality of the school system, right, is it's like a factory.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta churn out large numbers of people with a limited number of resources.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to churn out like basically a basic level product But what parents want is you to turn out a high-quality, optimized product. So the goals of the school system on some level are going to be different than the goals and expectations of the parent. And so what you kind of want for your kid is, if your kid is having trouble with reading, you want your kid to have enough attention and help to bring them up to, you know,
the standard,
the required standard for reading.
Yeah.
But what basically happens is the school doesn't have the resources to do that. So they sort of like send you a letter home or something that says like, hey, can you do your kid's education at home and then send them back when they're educated, kind of thing is kind of how it feels, right?
Yeah.
So
it's kind of the purpose of cram schools too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. And so the promise of AI is like more tailored, personalized assistance.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the promise of the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But I don't know that that is what is really being delivered.
Right.
And so that raises questions. Like, is the problem really, like resource limitation, or is the problem that the system is really not concerned with optimizing the outcome for individuals?
Sure.
Yeah.
And you know, it just kind of raises the question, you know, like, what exactly do we want our kids to be learning? Right. For me anyway, when I think about this and I think, okay, you know, these productivity tools, they help us to focus on new things at the expense of maybe some older things. So for example, farmers who have tractors now, maybe they're lacking in traditional farming skills because now they have these huge machines that can help them. And I have no gardening skills. I have no idea how to plant a crop because I go to the supermarket to get my stuff and bring it home and cook a meal there. Or I don't even cook, but you know, or a restaurant will use those things from the supermarket. I don't have those skills. In other words, those traditional skills that could come in handy someday, you know, but the point is I have other skills that I'm able to focus on now. And I think that's what AI, that's the positive of AI tools for me, is that it is a productivity tool. And yes, it makes us realize that we're actually focusing on different skills because we're actually working with AI now. And we may not necessarily learn those old traditional skills. Yesterday you were talking about relearning math skills from like, you know, kindergarten through university level, and how you've actually found it helpful in your life, even though we have calculators.
Well, oddly enough, it, you know, this is going to sound odd to many people who sat through math classes, but it improves your ability to think about things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your analytical skills.
Well, no, sort of. So it's what the reason that I started reviewing math is because I have a friend who studied math in university, and I realized that when he used his math skills, what he was basically doing was translating the real world into a logical language so that he could clarify thinking about it.
Okay.
He's using it like a language to represent reality.
So thinking about reality from a unique, specific angle. Is that kind of what the board
is
using?
No, it's like he clears out all of the noise.
Mm-hmm.
Like he identifies which variables, which factors have an effect, sort of determines whether or not it's a significant effect, and then ignores the ones that don't. So it's like your mother's opinion, depending on the situation, could no longer have any weight in your decision-making process.
Sure.
You see what I mean? So it lets you come up with a purer thought process, if you will.
Sure, sure, sure.
But what I was going to say, I mean, you gave that illustration about the farmer, and I think that is true, but I would draw a distinct line between people who are working in applied knowledge and people who are working more in sort of office environment, pure knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think having additional tools weakens the farmer's ability. I think it amplifies it. And I think that's largely because the farmer can't be a farmer. Like, all the equipment in the world will not help you without that basic competency, which is what we were talking about yesterday.
Sure.
You have to get the basic competency. So it's for people who are in sort of a world where it's like you're asked a question and you answer a question and that's the extent of what you do. Like, there's no concrete real world application. They're the ones who seem to be really susceptible to this undermining of the AI.
Right.
Yeah. Because then they, rather than maintaining the ability to answer the question themselves, they just sort of outsource that, which makes them non-essential to the entire process.
Right. Or less competent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Friends, we could talk about this for a while, but we do need to get into our reading right now, and we will continue our discussion in just a moment.
As 96% of teachers acknowledge AI is the future of education, change must be made today, or this and subsequent generations of students will continue to see their critical thinking, literacy, attention spans, and ability to contribute to the workforce severely degraded. This change must begin with an acknowledgement that generic productivity AI platforms like ChatGPT are not a solution to integrating AI into classrooms. We must act right now. Every school needs to make a simple declaration today. They will not use platforms that do not focus on ethical and responsible use of AI for studying and learning. This means tools like ChatGPT, which allow for direct answer generation, have no place in our educational system. The promotion of purpose-built AI learning platforms that don't give students the answer will provide schools and teachers with a foundation to take confident steps forward and create a better future for students.
Okay, 96% of teachers acknowledge, or they believe strongly here, they're acknowledging, maybe they don't necessarily agree with it or want it, but they're acknowledging that AI is the future of education and change must be made today. So we're talking about critical thinking, literacy, attention spans, the ability to contribute to the workforce is severely degraded, potentially, depending on our use of AI. What does it mean if something is severely degraded, Simon?
It just means it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
The quality falls.
Yeah, you can talk about degradation. That is the noun form, degradation or degraded here. This change must begin with an acknowledgement. Again, there's that word acknowledging that generic productivity AI platforms like ChatGPT are not a solution to integrating AI into classrooms. And again, we see this kind of subheading here, this title that says we got to do something right now. We must act right now. Every school needs to make a simple declaration today. Simon, is this language a little bit too strong? I mean, according to him, according to the writer, it's never too soon to act on this.
I mean, I don't know if you've noticed this since having kids, you know, because we were kind of older when we had kids.
Sure.
Right? We're not like parents were like, what, 25 when they had their first kids or whatever?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Even like, for them, in that generation, it was considered old, right?
Yeah. They. But there needs to be some clarification about why kids go to school. You know, because as a working parent, it makes me absolutely crazy that we have things like late start day, you know?
Late start day.
Yeah, like it's one day a week where the kids start school later. Because it just makes your commute to work nightmarish.
Yes.
Like the school system partially exists to provide childcare, whether they acknowledge it or not.
Sure.
Right? Like the existence of the school system means both parents
can work,
can be working.
Yeah.
So if you have an economy that wants both parents working, you need to provide childcare that covers childcare during the times when both parents are working.
Yes.
You see what I mean? So that's not a little thing. Like that's a very important function.
Mm-hmm.
Schools could be performing, but don't perform very well, you know, and then this idea of like teaching kids what is required to know to participate in society, also an excellent idea, but you got to sort of, and then a third one is like socialization, right? Like kids need to grow up in groups, et cetera, but you know, you could argue like maybe they should be in mixed ages.
Mm.
Maybe they should be, you know, more like a natural community family sort of setting.
Yeah.
So, all of these areas, there's room for change and evolution.
Yes.
But there's also a need to decide what the priority is and when that's a priority. And so I think you need clarification on all of that before you can even begin to decide what the role of AI is. Because one of the things I noticed as a teacher was, you know, a lot of the things you're requiring students to remember and memorize, they forget 3 minutes after the test.
Yes.
Because it's not really of any interest to them. It has no practical application. And so the question then is like, why are we learning this in school?
Yep.
Like, does it contribute to the society? I don't want to give any specific examples, but I'm thinking of some right now. So there's, you know, there's all kinds of things like that. And effectively what it is, you can describe it with that English term, busy work.
Sure.
It's work to keep kids busy.
Yep.
So that they're occupied and not causing trouble during the period of time when their parents are at work or whatever, right? Like, you know, Germany famously, it's like kids go to school for half a day, right? Mm-hmm. And they get the same amount of learning done.
Yep.
Homeschool kids are done in like 2 hours.
Exactly. Depending on the discipline of the parents and the students.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of things that are competing here. And you got to really decide what you're trying to do with your education system before you can address
it. If I hear you correctly, Simon, you got to have your own, you got to think through your own priorities for your family and for your kids first before you can decide.
Well, but you also got to work through it as a community. Mm-hmm. So you know what you want your school to be delivering.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, because like the teachers are correct here. They are not going to escape AI.
Right.
Like AI is here. AI is not going away in the same way smartphones are not going away.
That's right. But as our lesson says, they will not use platforms that don't focus on ethical and responsible use of AI for studying and learning.
Well, see, but that's the catch, right?
Yeah.
What do we mean by ethical
right.
and responsible?
It's kind of subjective.
You know, in the next paragraph, they mm-hmm. get into an example there that almost makes me crazy.
Okay, what do you mean by that? The promotion of purpose-built AI learning platforms, that part?
No, that's okay with me. Yeah, that's fine. No, it's in the second paragraph
okay.
there. Oh, pardon me.
In the second section.
It's the second sentence of the first, right under, we must act right now, right? Every school needs a simple declaration.
Oh, I see.
And then it says, that means tools like ChatGPT, which allow for direct answer generation, have no place in our educational system. Okay, I am hopeful that advanced radio has a place in the learning of many people, potentially in the education system.
We're assuming
and
that.
And I will
now.
Tell you right now,
yeah.
whenever there is confusion mm-hmm. over something that's going on in an article, we can pause the recording of the radio program and ask ChatGPT if we are basically expressing this in the right way. This is particularly true for articles that are about like cancer and stuff that we are not experts on, because we don't want to willfully spread disinformation.
Right.
But all we really have is the text in front of us that we're trying to interpret for people, right? And so, you know, there is room for using it to confirm accuracy.
Yes.
For it to fact check.
Yes.
For it to edit grammar. For it to, you know, whatever. There's room for things that give direct answers
mm-hmm.
within the education system.
That are not unethical.
That are not unethical.
Right.
So you got to be very careful. It depends on what the goal is. Like if you want students to memorize a bunch of facts
mm-hmm.
and then write their answer, then having a ChatGPT is a problem.
Yeah.
But if you're more concerned with students being able to like think critically about accuracy of information and, you know, confirm that they're correct about things and sort of work through a practical process, like mm-hmm. where they're doing quality control, there's a place for ChatGPT there.
Exactly.
So that's that, you know, I've said enough. I've said enough.
Well, we do need to get into this last section here today, friends. Tech leaders and educators must work together. Here we go.
Tech leaders and educators must work together. The education establishment is in a tough spot right now. They know they need to implement AI solutions into their classrooms to prepare students for the workforce of the future. But the leadership often doesn't see alternatives to generic tools like ChatGPT. We have to start with a set of core principles that we all agree are in the best interests of our students and in the best interests of society. 1. Responsible AI edtech companies must work hand in hand with educators at every level to develop and enhance AI platforms built for true learning. 2. Generic direct answer generation AI tools, like ChatGPT, have no place in the classroom. 3. AI must be used as a tool for learning, not shortcuts and cheating. 4. AI will never replace teachers. AI is a tool to help teachers save time and free them up to focus on their students. 5. Any AI tool introduced to classrooms must be designed to promote responsible studying and true learning. If we don't act soon, we risk an entire generation becoming completely dependent on AI systems to do everything for them. Let's get to work.
Okay, well, speaking of AI tools, I did look up a few. ChatGPT's study mode. We have Google Gemini's guided learning, or something like Tutor Copilot, another one called Cognition. These are all aimed at guiding students to some kind of answer as opposed to giving direct answers themselves. So the software is out there. People are already thinking about this. If at the end of our program I have more time, I'll repeat those again, but they are out there. Tech leaders and educators must work together. But Simon, what does it mean that something is in a tough spot right now? The education establishment is in a tough spot.
Just kind of means everything sucks, Gabe. They're having a lot of problems right now. That's what they're really saying. Okay. Yeah, a little informal there, but that's really what it means.
Yeah. So, man, when I think about that word establishment, it's like,
yeah,
it's not a small startup with a few people who can make quick decisions that can really turn things around 180 degrees quickly. You think, okay, no, this is an established thing that's been around for a long time. It's not easy for a big organization to make a big turn
That's
quickly.
Right. But they mean even broader than organization. Like they mean mm-hmm. from a country's Department of Education
right.
all the way down through private school administrations
exactly.
and universities and teacher training
right.
programs.
So it's even harder.
Publishers of textbooks.
Right.
Everything.
There's so many little things that you change one thing here that will affect everything else. It's just a lot to think through. So they're in a tough spot. They know they need to implement AI solutions. What does that word mean, to implement?
Well, I mean, here it means to include it in the classroom and start using it in the classroom.
Yeah. Sometimes I like to think of it in terms of like contrasting to theory or, oh, here's a good idea. Well, now let's implement it, or let's see mm-hmm. if we can implement it and put it into practice. And the leadership doesn't often see alternatives to generic tools like ChatGPT. I just want to say, like, I think when society is going a certain direction, that it's hard for individuals to see an alternative. So I admire people who maybe don't like the school system, for example. They don't think it's appropriate for their kids. And so they make the difficult choice, often difficult choice, of putting their kids in homeschooling their kids, or putting them in a charter school or something different, basically to think outside the box, to think of alternatives.
Agreed.
Yeah. What my point is, like, it doesn't, whether it's a group of people in leadership or individuals leading their families, or a couple leading their families, like, we all have to think about this stuff and not just go with the way that society is going and the status quo and everything. We have to start with a set of core principles. This is what we were talking about earlier, that we all agree are in the best interest of our students. So basically, what is the priority? What do we want our students to be getting out of education? So what's our first tip here?
Well, I would say first, in some ways, mm-hmm. what this is the writer is saying the same thing I was saying mm-hmm. about we need to clarify what the point of education is. Like,
right.
what are we trying to achieve here?
Yeah, so you guys are on the same page now, it seems.
Well,
it was unclear at the
beginning. At the moment.
Yeah.
Let's just say at the moment.
we're on the
same page, yeah. So, core principles that we all agree are in the best interests of our students and society. So number one, there was responsible AI EdTech companies. Now, EdTech there, those are basically companies that are producing technology for classrooms or educational purposes.
Mm-hmm.
They have to work hand in hand with educators, meaning they have to work very closely, develop things jointly, for example, at every level to develop and enhance AI platforms built for true learning. Now, the problem with that, Gabe,
what?
Is that EdTech is frequently terrible tech.
It's
always buggy. It's always, you know, it's less refined because, you know, it's like budgets are limited compared to the corporate world.
Sure.
And usage is limited too, right?
Sure.
So it's more specialized, it's more, and so it's hard to get really great quality sort of at that scale out of that industry.
Sure. There is one that I was exploring a little bit called Twee, T-W-E-E, AI, and that is specifically for teachers or educators who want to come up with, like, it's really good for coming up with activities based on lessons and things like that. The second point here we have
generic direct answer generation tools. Well, oh, here we're disagreeing again.
Right.
Look how short-lived that was.
So
back to this thing. You can't have a thing that gives you an answer in the classroom.
Sure. He thinks that it has no place in the classroom. If something has no place, that means it's not appropriate at all.
Yeah.
AI must be used as a tool for learning, not shortcuts and cheating. I agree with this.
We're back to agreeing.
Although, again. I mean, I like using calculators. We're not going to talk about math anymore right now, but AI will never replace teachers. Hopefully, this is true. AI is a tool to help teachers save time and free them up to focus on their students. This is a whole topic in and of itself, Simon, but teachers have a very important place in society.
Well, yeah, they do. I mean, it's
AI can't offer empathy, for example.
I think, well, frequently teachers don't offer empathy either,
well,
though, right?
This is something we should think about.
I mean,
teachers need to be thinking about what sets them apart from AI and what
because
it really does.
I don't think it will replace teachers, but it will probably change the role teachers play.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is true. So number five here, we have any AI tool introduced to classrooms must be designed to promote responsible studying and true learning. The idea of plagiarism comes to mind here as well. Again, because I was mentioning to you off air, Simon, like we were talking about the use of AI and how it can be misused. And I just think like of the idea of satisfaction when you're learning something, if you're just using AI agents to do your work for you, like, there's no satisfaction in the learning process at all. You're getting to the end of your school year. Yeah, maybe you can pass the test, but what have you actually gained in the whole process? You know, so I just think this is part of responsible studying and true learning. If we don't act now, our lesson says we risk an entire generation becoming completely dependent on AI systems to do everything for them. So let's get to work. Simon, is it as urgent as our writer makes it out to be?
We probably should have started years ago.
Years ago.
Yeah. More urgent, maybe.
Yeah.
So we agree again on that.
All right.
What a great way to end.
Well, it is a good way to end. I just want to repeat some of those other alternatives to getting direct answers from ChatGPT. There's ChatGPT's study mode, Google Gemini's guided learning, Tutor Copilot, Cognition. Friends, I'm sure you could discover more on your own as well.
I'm definitely going to check some of those out.
I like
the idea.
See
how they work.
I love the idea of guided learning. I don't want to necessarily have all the direct answers myself, you know. I like the Socratic method. But anyway, that brings us to the end of our lesson, friends. We are out of time. This is a very interesting topic to discuss. We have a completely different lesson for you next time right here on Advanced. My name is Gabe.
I'm Simon.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.